You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome to the only six-star wrestling podcast on planet Earth. This is the World Class Podcast. I am your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me as always, my main man, my partner in crime, the great Blackish Hype, Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, man?
Man, am I Blackish or am I Black, bro? Like, which one is it? Good morning, sir. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. For some reason, I pictured you sometime over the weekend as if, like, you kind of dressed like Carlton Banks, you know? Like,
wow.
Sometimes you go out and, like, play croquet and stuff, and you got, like, the sweatshirt thrown over.
Hey, man, stop telling my personal business on the podcast, bro. No, but I will say this. I am starting to get into golf.
Hey, man, I'm with you, bro. So I propose this. One day, as we get, I don't want to say famous because it sounds like we're trying to do this for fame, but one day when our work is maybe more respected on an even bigger audience, I say we do some sort of photo shoot where we're both dressed like Carlton Banks and we're like dancing to Tom Jones and stuff, you know? It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
You would find that appealing. There's nothing appealing about that, but I'm game, I guess.
Right? Yeah. Right.
As long as it gives a laugh.
So you are getting into golf, man?
Yeah, you know, I've always, even when I was little, even before Tiger was hot, I always was wanted to play it for some reason. I think the reason I wanted to play was because when I was a kid, I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And my mom told me, well, a lot of business deals are made on the golf course. And I was like, well, hell, give me a club. but I've had so many of my bosses over the years, especially at my last job, like, all of the major guys in power at the job used to all be like former pro golfers or former semi-pro golfers. So it's just always been something that's been around me that I've always been interested in. And I finally got a chance over the past couple of years to go to the driving range a couple of times. And the second you hit a ball perfectly, you're hooked.
Oh yeah.
If you hit a ball from the tee, whether it's at range or like a game place like Top Golf, which you hit it perfectly about 150 yards. You're like, okay, I got to keep doing this.
That is no lie. That is no lie whatsoever, man. I know. I love golf, and I am horrible at it. And I've never loved something so much that I am just absolutely so shitty at in my life.
Can I tell you a funny story real quick before we move on?
Let's hear it, bro.
So the first time I ever swung a real golf club, there is at my church, there's an older gentleman, older deacon at the church. And man, when I tell you that he's had two knee replacements and walks, like every time he walks, you're scared he's going to break his leg. Like it looks that bad when he walks.
Ooh.
Nicest guy, amazing dude, love him to death. Look at him like another grandfather. Well, he played golf all his life. After he retired, he got a little part-time job at the golf course, just kind of hanging out, just something to do. So Mondays, nobody was at that particular golf course, so he would be like, hey, you and my best friend Trey, he's like, y'all come on down, you know, we'll swing the club a bit. All right, cool. I played sports my whole life, dog. We get down there, and Trey was good enough to play college basketball. Like, he could have went to the NBA. He just never pursued it. So, like, we're, like, athletes. We're walking in there like, all right, yeah, we got this. He shows us how to hit the club. All right, cool, I got it. No big deal, bro. So I get it down. I get my hands right. I get in my stance. and I swing, I pull that thing back, and I feel like I'm about to hit it like Barry Bonds, bro. I'm finna hit it 450 yards. I swing with everything in my power and miss everything. So about 7, 8, maybe 9 times, I'm trying to swing it. On that 10th time, dog, no exaggeration, I hit it with every ounce of strength in my body. I'm 6'1", 290 pounds. I hit it with everything in my body. That thing went 7 feet. And that's not like, all right, this is real. This ain't just something I can just do. I got to learn. So, no respect for the second I started.
That's so awesome, dude. So awesome, man. I love it. I love it. Well, what did you think about Backlash, man? It's going to be hard to top that story right now.
Can we talk about golf?
Yeah. No.
All right, so look, I'm normally one of the most positive guys on the internet. I'm normally the guy that
I can attest to that. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm normally the guy that'll see the diamond in the trash or the crap, if you will.
Right.
Last night wasn't a good show. Last night, I mean, it wasn't. I don't even think it was terrible from an in-ring perspective, but it just wasn't a very good show, I don't think.
I agree, man. There was the one positive note about the show for me was the Seth Rollins defending the IC title against The Miz. I thought that match was on fire. I think that crowd was more into that match than they were the rest of the card.
Can I tell you something that I've been thinking about?
Yeah, man. This is our show, bro. This is our show. We do what we want here, bro.
I've been thinking about it since last night, but I've been thinking about it since WrestleMania. But last night, it really made me think.
Okay.
There is a disconnect between the opener of the show and the rest of the show. And it's consistent now. It's not every so often. It's consistent. So that's making me wonder, and just hear me out here. I know we all want to blame WWE for these bad shows, bad writing, the bad booking, bad creative, whatever. And that's true. All of that is true. You know, that's all true in its own right. But are the fans ruining the shows? And what I mean by that is this. Every match the fans are hyped for feels like a better match. And there are some matches, we talked about it ad nauseum. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania was a good match, but the crowd didn't care, so it seemed like it was trash. Are the fans ruining the shows and don't even realize it?
Man, it's a good possibility. And I'll tell you my viewpoint of it. You know, I've told you in private, and I've told you on the show multiple times, like, I kind of look at myself as not like an insider fan that reads Wrestling Observer, reads the newsletter, reads Figure Four, anything like that. Like, you know, I just try to suspend my disbelief when watching and don't think about anything that's going on backstage or anything, right? Like I'm 12 years old again.
Yeah, like a genuine mark.
Exactly.
And not using it in a negative connotation, but yes, absolutely.
Right, just a straight up and down, like, rabid fan.
Yes.
But when I'm watching, and like, say I'm watching a pre-show match, and the crowd's still walking in, and no one's watching, no one's cheering or anything, I can't get into that match, dude.
Yeah.
And that's horrible to say, because there have been some great pre-show matches. You know, Carl Anderson, or Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, I can't remember what show it was, sometime last year we're on the pre-show in a tag match. Great match.
That's one show.
Yeah. But I could not get into it because the fans didn't care. The fans weren't watching. And that's a problem for me, you know what I mean? Because we should be taking in everything. So yeah, I think that you very well could be right. They could be they could be ruining it. To a certain degree, you know what I mean?
And I don't think they're doing it they're doing it on purpose for a Roman Reigns match. That's another conversation. But the rest of the show, I don't think they're doing it on purpose because they're responding to certain things. But I feel like, and this is just from watching pay-per-views, I haven't been to a live WWE show probably in a year.
Okay.
It's been a while. It's been a while. But I feel like fans are becoming disinterested with the company. I don't know if it's the product or it's more so than the company. So, because of that, they're not hot for the entire show. And Montreal was, there are certain shows like Raw's a great example of this. Montreal was a hot show the entire time from beginning to end. And what was the consensus of that show? Damn, that was a pretty good show.
Right, right.
Right? And then there are some Raws where it's a slog to get through. And it's not because the writing is bad. And don't get me wrong. The writing is not good. I'm not sticking up for the writers in this standpoint. This isn't the catalyst for this conversation. Because the writing is consistently average. It's not great. It's up and down. It's honest truth. But a lot of the times, the shows are decently written, booked, and taped shows. It's just the crowd ain't into it. And I understand that there are certain people in the crowd, certain wrestlers that the crowd might not like. You know, like, the crowd's definitely not going to be extremely responsive in the Jinder Mahal match. That's just, it is what it is. The crowd has now did everything they can, they're doing everything they can to turn on the Roman Reigns match. They shit on Samoa Joe, excuse my language, beat, even Joe's a favorite, but he was in the ring with Roman Reigns, so we don't care about this match. You know, like, so I get that, but I don't know, man. I just feel like something's off here because the crowd, every crowd starts off a show hot. There's no way a wrestling crowd can start a show and not be hot. There's no way. You just got there. You're happy at the least you're at the show. That, which is why WWE geniusly keeps putting Miz or Rollins or something like that in the beginning. And that's why they keep having these great matches, right? Because they feel great. I don't know. Maybe I'm analyzing too much. Maybe I'm wrong. Because last week, Rollins and Balor ended the show, and it was super hot. But that was a hot crowd. I don't know. I'm just trying to make some understanding. Because it doesn't make sense to me that the biggest company in the world keeps having shows where fans keep leaving disinterested.
It's true, man. I agree with you. There's something...
I don't get it. And it's not on Roman Reigns' fault, because it's the whole show.
Oh yeah, no, I don't put this show on Roman Reigns at all. I never put an entire show on Roman Reigns. I always just put, you know, if Roman did something wrong, just like I would any other show, or just like any other wrestler, you know, that he can only be responsible for so much. You know what I mean?
I'm just trying company. To compartmentalize, because I could understand fans saying, we hate Roman, so 90% of the show we're gonna be good, but when it's time to get to Roman, we're just gonna do whatever we want. I can understand that. I don't like it, but I can understand that. But that's not what's happening. It's the whole show, except for like the first match. Seems like people just don't care.
Right. Yeah, I think that the fans are having inadvertently. I don't think they're meaning to, and I don't think people like me that let the crowd reaction like cloud my view of the match, I guess you would say. I think there's a growing number of us, and I don't think we're meaning to be like that. I damn sure know that I'm not, but yeah, I can see, you know, where crowd reaction has ruined a couple of matches for me. Maybe not so much ruined, but has made me just disinterested, you know. But yeah. You know, maybe we could do a show on that sometime. We'll have some examples, and I think we could do a little, at least a segment on it. You know, we're gonna have to do a little bit of research on that.
It's definitely worth looking into, because there has to be a reason. I mean, I think of people want to complain about WWE having long shows. Like the Greatest Royal Rumble was 5 hours. WrestleMania was like 6.5. Stuff like that, but New Japan consistently is that long. 4 hours. You know, whatever. And people never complain about that show. You know, and I realize that it's the level of the match is a little different, because they're not treated like, and they're not treated as an entertainment spectacle. So the point of every New Japan match is to have the best match they can and have a winner. point of most WWE matches is to further a storyline. So I get the difference in that. I do. But it just, I don't know, man. Well, let's go to the card, and then maybe we can come to some kind of understanding.
Okay.
Because
all right. Yeah,
the card was not a terrible card. It wasn't a great card, but like there were spots in the card where you definitely would think, yeah, I can see this being good, and it just wasn't.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. All right. So the night started off with a pre-show match between Bayley and Ruby Riott. Ruby won by a little bit of nefarious means. I didn't watch the match, and you didn't either, so...
I didn't, but the one thing of note was that apparently Bayley tried to get Sasha to help her before the match, and Sasha went off on her.
Oh, I didn't see that. Did not see that. She went off on her, like not cussing her out, but like was like, get up off my bitch.
Well, basically, she was like, look, you know, I've been trying to make up with you for the past few weeks, and now you want to make up with me because you finna fight the Riot Squad? No, they've been beating my ass for 2 weeks. Nah, you can have that.
That's true. She ain't been helping her.
Ain't been helping at all. But now she wants to get some help. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll skip that one, and maybe we'll watch that one and talk about it. I don't know if we actually will or not.
Oh, I'll definitely catch it when I get a chance. It's just, you know, kid time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Bayley and Ruby. I'm sorry, girls, but, you know.
Right. What was it? Oh, I was going to say, man, real quick, before we go to the card, I want to give a shout-out to, you know what? We'll do it on the first break. How about that?
Okay.
Let's talk about the deal, because we're going to give a shout-out to a few people that I worked with this weekend on the indie show, the two indie shows that I worked this weekend, so we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But,
oh, yeah, in case you guys forget, Mr. Jordan Fox here actually works for a wrestling company.
Well, thank you for that shout out. Thank you for this. I'm just a man. Ray, you know me. I just put my pants on one leg at a time with the help of my personal assistant, just like everyone else. So, dude, okay. I totally stole that. I think it was something from Fresh Prince. I think he said something like that back in the day.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I got it for I think he was talking to Uncle Phil. I can't remember, but I totally jacked that from someone. But anyway, Seth Rollins versus The Miz was the curtain jerker, was the opening match. Seth was defending the IC title. I'll tell you right off, I think this was the match of the night for me. What about you, Ray?
There's no way anybody else could say anything else. AJ Nakamura was really good, but a non-finish. So, yeah. By proxy, this was the best match of the night, but they worked... Man, look, can we? I say this every pay per view. I say this every almost every show we have when we recap a show. Can we finally admit that Miz is good in the ring?
Like, oh really yeah, good? I know we're gonna rename this show the Miztourage Podcast, bro.
I'm with it because it's deserving. But I think we finally have to come to a consensus as a family, right? As an IWC family, that Miz is a really good wrestler.
Yeah, I agree. There's still people out there in the IWC that hate him, and most of it is probably because he came from the reality TV world. Am I right?
Well, you're always going to have some fans, some internet fans, diehard fans, that don't like rocking with people that didn't come in the quote-unquote traditional way. It's always going to be the case. Miz, and then you're always going to have some people, truth be told, who... don't realize that they're hating people that wrestle because that wrestler's job is to make you hate them. But with Miz, I think a lot of the issue with this character has always been, he's a great talker. He gets me interested. I give him that. He can't wrestle, though. And you know there's a bunch of people that, if you can't wrestle, don't care. But that's why I keep trying to kill that misnomer and explain to people, can we finally look at the facts and see that Miz is really good in ring now?
I agree.
It has been for some time, but definitely showing it now.
I agree. I think, I'm not going to name names, but there's some wrestlers that he's better than in the ring that the IWC is in love with, male and female. So, you know,
absolutely.
The only thing that I did not like about this match was... Rollins kicked out of the Skull Crushing finale twice. And that's not a huge deal. That's more of a personal preference, like me and you've talked about before on the show. I think that we should go back to a little bit of old school style thinking where your finisher is protected. Like, it's a huge deal when someone kicks out of it.
Go ahead. I agree with that premise. The only difference is I feel like there are levels of finisher.
Okay.
So, like, I'm not expecting... So, a finisher like the Skullcrusher finale, I don't expect to be the be-all, end-all. But I'm shocked if somebody kicks out of Braun Strowman's running power slam. Right?
I don't think has anybody... I know you're not saying that they have, but I was just going to ask. Yeah, I think
Roman kicked out of it once.
Oh, he did? Okay.
But yes, but what I'm saying is there's levels. Like nobody kicks out of Pedigree. Like, very rarely do you kick out of Pedigree. Very rarely do you kick out of the Tombstone. Like, there are levels of finishers. So I'm okay with Miz's finisher being one that people kick out of more only because his character, it matches his character. But the issue I had with concerning that last night was I'd have been fine with it had Miz kicked out of one of the stomps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it was Turnabout's Fair Play, yeah.
Yeah. That's my only issue with stuff like that. Like, I can hit you with three finishers and you kick out all three of them, but you hit me with one and I'm out. Well, that makes me look weak.
True. But in this match, so after a series of reversals, Rollins hit the curb stomp for the pin. He retained the IC title. Great match. And just to go along with our point, the crowd was absolutely hot for this match as well. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. Not only would I agree, but I feel like... So... The crowd will tell you who they want.
Right.
And the crowd has told us for the past, I'd say, 9 months that they want Braun. But I feel like since that Gauntlet match, dog, Rollins has been the hottest dude in the company.
And you're talking about where he beat Finn Balor and was it Finn Balor and John Cena? Both?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
those were the two. Yes, and he fought a third match, but he lost.
Elias ended up beating him. Yeah,
but dog, no, he beat Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's right. Was it Roman? Was it Roman and Cena?
It was Roman and Cena. He beat.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But dog, he has been on such a hot streak, and of course, clearly he's being booked to be on a hot streak. But what he's been doing is he's always been a great wrestler, but he's been so hot, and the crowd has completely gotten back into the dude. So, yeah. Maybe he's the guy that they are considering putting back on the pedestal again.
I absolutely hope so. I mean, he's a 3-time world champion or 2-time world champion?
2-time world champion.
Yeah. And I thought, especially, well, his second reign, I mean, it ended as soon as he won it at Money in the Bank, right? Yeah. Dean Ambrose cashed in.
Yeah.
But that first reign that he won at WrestleMania 31, correct?
Yes.
Cashing in the Money in the Bank. I will never forget, and I've heard this from 100 different people on a ton of different podcasts, that they'll never forget, me included, when he's standing up on that ramp at WrestleMania 31 with everything going on behind him and he's holding up that title.
Yeah, that is... Yeah.
So I think I will always have a soft spot in my fandom heart for Seth Rollins because he gave me such an awesome wrestling memory.
Well, I'm a Shield mark, so.
Are you? We've never talked about that before.
I am one of the biggest Shield marks that has ever walked the earth. That's why I love Roman so much.
I got you. So, yeah, we'll have to talk about that more, man. Yeah. I never knew that. I've never asked you, and you've never told me, like, you know, where your diehard Roman Reign fandom comes from. You know what I mean? But that makes complete sense, dude. The Shield, were freaking awesome. I mean, to say the least. You know what I mean?
In fact, I'll say this. I think the Shield is the greatest faction in wrestling history.
Really? Better. Who would you say was second?
I'd say the NWO second only because of what they did.
Got you. Gotcha.
But I don't even know if we can consider the NWO a faction anymore. You know, they were essentially another company at one point. but traditionally, yes, I would say the NWO because they changed the business. But I'd argue the Shield not only changed the business, but they had consistently tremendous. The Shield is the reason why we see 6-man tags every week.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
No, there's so we could talk. That'll be another show.
Yeah.
But yes. So that's something for you guys to digest on. The Shield, in my opinion, is the greatest stable in pro wrestling history.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something about that soon. Maybe a special edition, like your top three greatest factions.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So the next match on the list was Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title. As we know, Nia Jax wins by catching Alexa Bliss and hitting her with the Samoan drop, right? While Bliss was going for the Twisted Bliss.
It was a really, really good finish. But man, they need to stop thinking that these two women with their differences are going to run 12-minute matches, dog. That's not what they need to be doing. And it's not that I don't think either one of them are good. It's just that the dynamic of their feud and the dynamic of them as people doesn't scream out long match. It just doesn't. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you. You and I talked about this a little bit when I called you this morning, because we didn't talk last night, but I was kind of surprised about the Nia Jax crowd reaction she got after she was given the words of encouragement for it's okay to be different, the bullies always get their ass beat in the end, stuff like that. A positive message to the fan base, and besides for a few claps, it was some crickets. She got booed a little bit, not a whole lot, but she got some boos before she started talking. Now, from what I seen, she did not get any boos when she started giving the positive words, the words of encouragement, but she didn't get a whole lot of cheers. She got a lot of crickets. And you said that you attributed that to being the hot Northeast crowd. Do you want to talk about that for a second? Kind of just elaborate, tell me what you meant by that?
Yeah, well, Nia is a very unique person in every respect, but in the crowd's eyes, because, so I think we talked about it just a little earlier, but there's a big contingent of wrestling fans that ultimately you can be a good talker, you could have a great look, all this, but ultimately if you aren't great in ring, they just ain't gonna rock with you. There's a big contingent of that. And Nia's good in the ring, I think, but Nia is limited in the ring because of her style. So there's always going to be a group of people that just ain't with that. Just not going to be with it. And the difference between her and Alexa is, and I hate to, just being completely candid, but the perception, well, Alexa, number one, is the best talker and best female talker in the business.
Ooh, that'd be another conversation, too. Who would be second. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. But I won't be disrespectful to Shimmer and Women of Honor and Impact, but because I don't watch them, but definitely in WWE she's the best female talker.
Gotcha.
But on top of that, the perception is, well, Alexa's gorgeous, so people just gonna stand for her because she's gorgeous. And Nia is, like I've said many times, is prettier than Alexa to me, but you know, just it is what it is.
Right.
But I just don't feel like in a New England, Northeast, New York, New Jersey crowd, you can't have your baby face win a match and after the match talking about all bullying and all this stuff. And then, man, you know what killed it? When she threw in the term "be a star," that's when I rolled my eyes. And I'm the mark. I'm the WWE apologist. And I was like, come on, dog, you did not say "be a star."
Like, I'm laughing more at me imagining your reaction than anything. Of you being like, ah, oh, god damn it, you had to go there, Nia.
I'm saying. So I was very vocal about how emotional I was about Nia's win at WrestleMania. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old daughter. And my 9-year-old daughter has been bullied at school. I've had to go up to the school and handle that. So I understand how it is for women, women of color who are bigger than other kids, to be bullied. I get it. I live it every day. So for that story to be told as it was, and for Nia to come on the end, really meant something to me personally. So I appreciate the story and what she's doing and telling from a much more personal standpoint than probably 95% of the people watching. But when it starts to feel pushed in corporate and like it's something the company's telling her to do instead of something that she really feels she's doing on her own, that's when it starts to get me. And the reason is that's the case is because I follow Nia on Twitter, I follow her on Instagram, I follow her on Snapchat. I've seen a lot of her interviews. And everything about her does not feel, nothing about her feels like somebody's telling her what to do. She feels more organic than 95% of people in the company.
Really?
And yeah, she feels like she does what she, because she's so awkward and she's so quirky, she's her.
That's cool. But I haven't seen a bunch of behind the scenes stuff with her, and I don't think I follow her on Twitter, so I didn't know that. So that's really cool to know. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sometimes I forget we're recording a show, and I'm just like, oh, really? Yeah, that's cool to know. You know what I mean?
I'm here. You know things I don't know. I know things you don't know, and we come here and talk about it. But that's what made me so disappointed last night in the promo, because everything she was saying was real and honest, and it seemed like it was coming from a great place and honesty, and then she throws in, be a star. And I was like, and the way she threw it in, too, wasn't like, you know, she threw it in like, oh shit, I forgot to say it. Oh, yeah, be a star.
Nice. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I totally know what you mean. So next on the show, we had Samoa Joe giving an interview backstage saying that Roman Reigns lost his confidence, a little bit of speed, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Said he was going to turn the big dog into a whimpering puppy or something like that. Sorry, I had problems with my allergies this morning. After that, we had the Jeff Hardy defended his U.S. title versus Randy Orton. Jeff Hardy retained his title kind of out of nowhere. Did you notice that? It was with the Twist of Fate, the Swanton. But I thought it was kind of out of nowhere. I thought this match was slow.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't a bad match. When I say slow, I don't mean it in a bad way, but I mean like what's the word I'm looking for, Ray? Like slow.
Like classic Orton.
Yeah. Technically, Randy Orton looked phenomenal in this match. In my opinion, I think he looked absolutely phenomenal. No pun intended. Don't mean to steal AJ's phrase there. Yeah. What'd you think of the match, man?
Somebody said this on Twitter, and it encapsulated what I feel about Randy Orton perfectly. Randy Orton is the greatest wrestler. This is a tweet.
Okay.
Randy Orton is the greatest wrestler I've ever seen who wrestles matches I don't care about.
I've never heard that, dude. That is awesome. Say it one more time.
Randy Orton is the greatest wrestler I've ever seen who wrestles matches I never care about. and it's true, because when at the end of the day, right, if wrestling stopped tomorrow, Randy Orton top 25, top 10, top 15 all time. Easily.
Absolutely.
Man
absolutely.
In the ring, he's extremely successful. He's done everything you can do, but I just don't care because it feels like he doesn't care. You know, and I don't mind a methodical, a slower methodical match, because there's beauty in that method, right?
But
it just doesn't seem like, man. And when Randy Orton is in, when he's interested, he's motivated, it's a beautiful thing,
right?
Because there's not many better. But it just, and I was hoping that him and Jeff would have better chemistry, because I was interested in seeing them together. But Jeff's lost a step. He's still a very, very good wrestler, but he's lost a bit of a step, so he doesn't have the get-up he used to have when he was younger. So, like you said, it wasn't a bad match by any means. It's just, I'm going to be honest with you, the only thing I remember about the match was the finish, because it just wasn't interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree.
And And about the finish real quick.
Yeah.
I feel like the finish was meant to be out of nowhere because that's Randy's thing.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Touche, my friend. Touche.
I mean, think about what the Twist of Fate is. The Twist of Fate is an RKO with just some
little spin at the beginning of it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And one more thing. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Go. You, dude, one this is our show, bro. This is what we do.
Jeff needs to stop doing the Swanton.
Oh, what for? That's, okay, you're going to have to explain that one to me now, bro.
For the past 8 times I've seen him do it, the past few times, handful of times I've seen him do it, he's not rotating like he used to.
On the Swanton?
On the Swanton. So when he used to hit the Swanton, it used to be, so when you hit a high angle senton bomb, you're supposed to not completely, so your regular senton bomb is basically just, Ruby Riott did it the other day. Tozawa does it. That's a real senton bomb. You just literally hit him with your back. What Jeff used to do in a high angle swanton is, the beauty of what he used to do was, when he hits it, he has a different rotation on it, but you're supposed to essentially roll off of their stomach.
Gotcha.
Jeff is just doing like a somersault.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Flat on their stomach. And maybe because I've seen 15 plus years of the other one, but it just doesn't look good to me, and I'm scared that one day he might not rotate right and hurt himself.
I can see that.
The same rotation.
I see what you're saying. I haven't. I actually didn't pay. That's something like really technical that normally I would have tried to pay attention to. You know what I mean? Because you know you and I are kind of both losers like that. We pay close attention to minute things. You know.
Absolutely, yes.
But I actually didn't notice that, so I'm glad you mentioned that. Next time I see him do it, I'm gonna check it out. That's something to check out. Yeah, wouldn't that be crazy to think that Jeff Hardy would be out there wrestling without doing the Swanton? You know what I mean? Just because it's so synonymous with him in my eyes, anyway.
It is, but
I'm not saying that he
adds something to it.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say that, I'm not saying he shouldn't stop doing it, especially if he's not being safe about it or something like that, like you described. I just meant, wouldn't it be crazy if he needed to stop doing it because he could no longer do it correctly, or just if he wanted to switch it up just because it's been, it'd kind of be like Randy Orton not doing the RKO anymore. You know what I mean?
Triple H ain't going to do the pedigree no more. He's gonna do a DDT.
Exactly.
Or he's gonna finish matches with his Indian deathlock.
Indian deathlock.
Yeah, I get it.
I just thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
Where did you think this match? I know you don't do star ratings, but how about? What do you think this was the second best match on this card behind The Miz and Seth Rollins?
No.
You do not. Okay, so we'll figure out which match that is, or have we already passed it?
No, I'll tell you straight up, it's AJ Shinsuke.
Okay. All right.
In fact, Jeff and Orton is one of the, if I were to rank them, would be on the lower end of this card to me. Because I'd much rather enjoy a bad match that has something memorable about it than an average match that I can't remember anything.
Okay. I dig it. Before we go into the next match, I forgot, before we recorded our prediction show on Friday, I forgot to give a shout-out to our friend from across the way, Darren, and have him send in his predictions. So, you know, anytime we do a prediction show, we almost always ask Darren for his predictions because we love talking about him, love talking about his predictions on the show. Darren's one of our biggest fans. We love the guy. Close friend of both of ours. So, Darren, we apologize. We want to give you a big shout-out. Much love from Ray and I here at the show. Next prediction show, you will be all up on that thing, my man.
I guarantee you he's not disappointed because he hated the show.
Did he? I see. I didn't get to watch the show until later on. Here's my cheap plug again. Because I was at the Imperial Wrestling Revolution shows Saturday and Sunday. Shout out to my peeps out there. But so I had to stay away from Twitter, so I didn't get to see everyone's reaction. But he did. He hated the show, did he?
He hated it so much. It was one of those things where I feel like, and he was kind of saying this on Twitter, but it was one of those shows that made him reevaluate why he watches WWE.
Oh.
Like, that's how bad. He said, and this is a direct quote, he said, "I'd much rather stick a toenail up my fingernail, stick a toothpick up my toenails and kick a wall than rewatch Backlash."
Oh my God.
Pretty vivid. That's pretty vivid.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny to me, so.
Well, on behalf of WWE, we do apologize, Darren, but glad you're listening to the show. We love you much, brother. Next
predictions, though, we'll take them. We want them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. If we forget next time, dude, you got to remind us. Be like, boys, y'all ain't asked me for my predictions yet. Next match on the card was Daniel Bryan and Big Cass, and this is a big old fat match that you and I called way wrong, and I think that our way of booking it was better than what they did. What do you think?
Essentially, it's the same thing. It's just Bryan got the win, and Cass beat him up and got the heat.
Right.
So essentially, we both said the same. What we said was exactly what happened. It's just we had the actual winner wrong.
Yeah, in my version of it, you know, Cass would have been, you know, pretty dominant and got the W, and then the story going forward is, well, can Daniel Bryan overcome? Like, has he lost his luster, some of his abilities in nearly 3 years of not being in the ring and blah 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 blah? And can he take down the 7 foot giant? Blah blah blah.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Instead, it's kind of, you know, like, it's still that to a degree, but at the same time, it's like, but he won. You know what I mean?
Look, that's what I wanted to see. I know it's what you wanted to see, but we forget. Daniel Bryan is so good at making us forget he's Daniel Bryan.
That's a good point.
Daniel Bryan
That's a good point.
Always he always wins. Contrary to popular, you know, it's funny that Roman Reigns loses 90%. Roman Reigns can lose 25 matches in a row, and then people still say, but Roman's going to win. Daniel Bryan can win 25 matches in a row, and people still say, but Bryan's going to lose. It's funny that perception we put in our minds about those two.
That's such a good point. We didn't mention it, but Daniel Bryan did obviously go over with, what is his submission?
It's called the Yes Lock, but it's the LaBelle Lock, but it's called the Yes Lock.
Gotcha.
It's
almost,
but the thing I enjoyed about that match, I like this match a lot actually. The thing I enjoyed about it was Bryan said, if I get him on the ground, it's over. I just gotta get him on the ground. And the entire match he endured and endured and endured till he could get him on the ground. Once he got him on the ground, it was over.
Gotcha. So,
it was a nice told story of essentially chopping down a tree.
That's a good analogy. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So for the next match, which was Carmella versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's title, I want to do something a little bit different for this match.
Okay.
There's one paragraph written about it in the Wrestling Observer review of the show. Not, you know, obviously the actual newsletter doesn't come out till Wednesdays, but they, you know, they do a review that's released immediately after each show, right? And they write a paragraph or two about each match. I want to read the paragraph about the Carmella versus Charlotte Flair match, okay? And I quote, "This was bad. It was It was painfully obvious that while Carmella is a good talker, in the ring, she's like the women from 10 to 15 years ago. This was hard to watch because it had to be athletically dumbed down since Carmella took most of the match. Charlotte missed a moonsault and sold her left knee buckled. Carmella kicked Charlotte in the hamstring and rolled her up." Not very kind words from Meltzer or whoever wrote this, but the beginning of it, it just cracked me the hell up. This was bad.
So tell me how you really feel.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, since the Wrestling Observer Newsletter wants to like sugarcoat it and shit, man, tell us how the match really was.
I think it was actually a 5.5. I'm just joking. It wasn't. So I am a different wrestling fan. I appreciate character work and entertainment oftentimes more than I do in-ring prowess. So it was not a good match, but it was highly entertaining because Carmella has become one of the most hateable people in the company. You just want to see somebody punch her in the mouth. The problem is I'm at the point where I need a break from Charlotte.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not, she's still great. She's still amazing. I think she's still the best woman maybe ever. I'm nothing against her.
Yeah.
It's just she hasn't been hurt. She hasn't missed any time. So from PCB, when the Divas Revolution started, to now, she has been consistently, prominently built and utilized from that moment to now. And it's been very, very little downtime. So I'm just tired of seeing her in this position right now. I just need a break.
Yeah,
give me somebody else in that position.
That's a valid point. That's a valid point. I understand. Charlotte hasn't taken any time off. I think she missed. She got sick and missed a mixed match challenge match, and then I think she missed a show when her dad was sick. But other than that, she has been week in and week out, right? I mean, she right. And by no means, I know what we shouldn't have to say this, but I'll save you some hate tweets. Ray and I are not saying in any way, shape, or form we wish she gets hurt and has to miss a length of time. We're just saying that simply, like, you know, give her 3 weeks off to recoup from, you know, I know that she's got to have some wear and tear, you know what I mean? Or simply just take her off TV for a few weeks and you know, put someone else in the main event of the women's scene on SmackDown, you know?
Yeah,
that's what he means.
I don't even need her to be off TV personally. I just don't need her to be prominently pushed.
I got you.
Like, take a step back. Fight in the mid-card. Have your feud with the Iconics for a while. But seeing her... So, there's only two or three spots for the women on every pay-per-view, seems like.
Right.
And she always got one. You know? So, she's always in the marquee feud for the women on her brand. So, right. Just, like, give me a month or two where she's not. You know? Like, take a step back. It'll do wonders for her because... Now she's playing this face character, which I don't think she's ever done face characters well, but that's me.
Yeah, I agree. I think she should be heel.
Yeah, some people are just better. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to stunt her growth because you're only going to get better if you keep doing something. But I just prefer her as a heel. But as a face, you don't want people to get tired of her. And I'm at that point. I don't know if the crowd has gotten to that point, but definitely, her and Carmella, just that was never gonna work. The Carmella title reign was necessary for numerous reasons, but it's very interesting to see how they continue to get the best out of her, because ultimately you got to perform in the ring, and Carmella is not good at performing in the ring. So, everything else, she's great at, just not. She's Alexa on SmackDown.
Would you say that she is, would you agree with Meltzer or whoever, I'm not sure who writes this, if anybody knows who writes the pay-per-view reviews for Figure Four Online, you know, tweet us and let us know at World Class Pod. But do you think Carmella is like the women 10 and 15 years ago where, you know, they were... I assume what he meant by that was they were very beautiful, but when it came to in-ring work, they weren't always the best. Would you agree with that viewpoint that Figure Four has there?
Well, here's the thing. I don't like that assessment because they can't help the era they were in.
Right.
Right? They can't help the fact that wrestling wasn't at a premium for women in 2007. They can't help that. And we live in a world now where we're essentially spoiled because most of the women on the roster can go. But yes, I hate the analogy, I hate the thought process, and I hate the comparison. But yeah, she's essentially Kelly Kelly in 2018.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I think Kelly Kelly was as bad as people thought she was, but Kelly Kelly wasn't very good.
Right, right. Totally understandable. No. Totally understandable.
Yeah. The difference is she gets more of a pass from me because she was never prominently used in NXT. And she was called up much earlier than she should have been because she had a character that had a chance to, pardon the pun, but become money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a very patient guy. So when I see people like her or like Nia or like somebody who I've been very critical of, like a Liv Morgan, who haven't been wrestling for 5 years, and you know maybe 3 in Liv's case, like give time. The progress that they've shown to the point where they're even able to wrestle competent matches on television in front of thousands of people, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give her time. The problem is though, you're the champ now, so you don't have the benefit of, well, you know, but she's, no, you don't have the benefit. When you're the champ, you're expected to perform.
Yeah, there's no flying under the radar when you're carrying that strap.
Not at all. And then the 3 women that you're potentially going to be wrestling are all top of the line wrestlers in any respect. Women all over the world, men, whatever. Charlotte, Asuka, and Becky are some of the best in the business.
Yeah.
And that's who you got to be put against. So.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah. So you do like Carmella's character, though, right?
I love every single thing about Carmella. Every aspect, even the small aspects of, like, her outfits and how they change. Everything about her, except for her in-ring. She's the perfect character. Everything about her is tremendous. The way she talks is distinctive and annoying and gets her point across. Everything about her is wonderful.
So would you say that she is FABULOUS?
Yes, I would.
Do you like that?
She definitely has earned that moniker, in my opinion. But she's not FABULOUS in the RING.
In between these 4 ropes, as Cesaro would say.
Just make sure you don't kick your leg out. Don't make sure you get your leg kicked out of your leg.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your leg out of your leg. That is something that you would say to your own brother. You know what I mean? Like,
actually, yes.
Because your brother will get you so upset like no one else on this earth.
Yes.
Or sibling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. And we have to remember, Seth, Dean, and Roman really look at each other like in real life like brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense, yes.
Right, right. So next we had what I thought was going to be the best match of the night. That was AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a no DQ match for the WWE title. The match ends in a no contest. Ray, Mr. Cash, yeah. Tell me what you thought of the match, my main man.
So, I'm very glad we don't do post shows. Because we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the chance to go to sleep, think about it, let our opinion be thought about coherently. We did post shows, it'd be nothing but hot takes. Like, immediate opinions, right? It'd
be a bunch of promos cut by us.
Pretty much. Let me tell you something, brother.
Hey, dude. Strap on to the biggest back in the world, Jack.
Ah, dude, brother, and Jack. That's literally every pro not knows. So, if this would have been last night, I would have been pretty upset. And only because of this. I don't mind false finishes. I need to say that because I know this whole feud has made it sound like I hate false finishes. I don't. They're very important. They're very important for certain situations. My problem with that is this: why do you keep feeling the need to use false finishes in this feud? Because you're essentially telling us two of the best guys you have in the company, what you're telling us is none of their matches have mattered. They don't. Because if you're going to continue to do this, I robbed with you at the Grand Royal Rumble, dog. I got it. It was a house show for the Saudi Arabian people. We just happened to be able to watch it. You wanted to give it a reason for a no DQ, man. I got you, dog. I get you. Cool. But to end this match on a double dick kick, I just, like... So now I've had hindsight, right? I had a chance to go to sleep.
Right, right.
I had a chance to think about it. I guess I can be as matter of factly as I can possibly be. If they don't have a definitive finish at Money in the Bank, if they don't have, and I'm sure the match at Money in the Bank is going to be a last man standing match because they both couldn't get up at this kind of 10 count, boom, I got you. If they don't have a definitive finish at Money in the Bank, and I'll even go further, if Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't win this championship at Money in the Bank, then everything about this feud, from Shinsuke winning the Royal Rumble to now, is an abject failure and waste of time. And I've never said that. But it truly is. Because there's no point. There's no point to continue. And this isn't even like the heel knowing he can't win, so attacking the face so he doesn't lose. So you know what I mean? This isn't that. This isn't none of that. I don't understand why they keep pushing. Like, I don't get it. There's a lot of things that I can explain. I can't explain this one. I don't get it.
I'm not too far behind you, to be honest with you. I don't understand. We talked about on our prediction show on Friday that it does not make a whole lot of sense for Shinsuke not to win this match. Because it comes to a point where, you know, if you lose so many of them, what is bringing us back to that match time and time again? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he lost this match, because technically he didn't lose it, but neither of them won it.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like they are doing exactly what New Japan does not do. And that is, they're trying to get more and more matches out of this. They're trying to drag it along. And I'm not saying that New Japan doesn't drag along storylines, but if you watch...
It's always a finish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll use last year's storyline of the year, last year's match of the year, which was by Pro Wrestling Illustrated, which was Kenny Omega versus Okada. They had three matches, three one-on-one matches over the course of a year. Whereas here we're getting three matches in what, 3 months from these two, and they've all been, you know, they've been phenomenal matches, but especially if you're going to do three matches in a row, that in, you know, that condensed amount of time, you got to give us a finish. You know what I mean? Because you're gonna lose interest.
So, if we were to look at this show, like me and you were sitting at a table, writing down what's gonna happen on paper, right? Just writing it down. Then right. Yes, it makes sense. I get it. It makes sense that this is New Japan. Everything here is storyline dictated. So, how can I make the storyline work from? To continue a feud from through four, essentially four pay-per-views from May, from late March to mid June, right? So when you say that, and Shinsuke just turned heel and AJ is the best you got, I get from a writing on paper standpoint, I get it. I get, okay, well, we don't want somebody to lose, so we'll just do false finishes. AJ can win the first match to make Shinsuke turn heel, and then the next two matches, they'll have essentially false finishes to get to the final one in Chicago at Money in the Bank. All right, on paper, it sounds good. I get it. It makes sense. The problem you're running into is it's deflating because people have waited for so long to see this feud, and you're essentially, man, I have an analogy, but it's not meant for audio consumption. But I have an analogy that would perfectly encapsulate the situation. But it involves the color blue and what comes after the word basket in sports, if you catch my drift.
Okay.
That's basically that's it.
Yeah.
So, I get the point. I get the reasoning behind it. But a lot of the times, the reason behind things and the way it comes off on television doesn't match. Like, just because you have good intentions doesn't mean it's okay still. So the intentions are good and understandable. But so now, is that the point now where you're risking the fact that people are people going to continue to care about it in Chicago to Chicago in Money in the Bank? I don't know that I want to see them wrestle again, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think me and you've talked about this before in an earlier episode, but no contest endings are okay. You know, like say if you're wanting to take a trilogy to, four matches, but you have to have like some clear cut winners, you know? Yeah. Like what if, you know, I don't know. We can talk about, you know, our ideas on booking another time since we're covering a whole show. But, I haven't been, the way this has been booked, it hasn't been my favorite, booking decisions that I've seen in a while, if that makes sense.
The point of booking a feud is to continue to make the people want to see it go further.
Right.
That's the whole point, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
You got to kill time. I get you. Got to get through. AJ Styles got to have essentially 13 pay-per-view matches in a year. I get it. So you want, but essentially the point of having a feud is to continue to tell us to continue to tell a story that makes the fans want to see the story continue. They have not done that. Nothing about this has continued to make people want to see the story. In fact, you take the pay-per-view matches out of it, it's a better feud.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100% with that. Yep.
Because everything Shinsuke has done on SmackDown has been tremendous.
Yep.
The pay-per-view matches they've had at the Grand Royal Rumble and at Backlash have almost pushed the feud backwards. And when can you say that? When can you say that the actual blow-off matches on pay-per-views have made the feud worse than what TV has done? No, it's the other way around.
It's a good point. Very good point. What Shinsuke's done on SmackDown has been amazing. Sorry, no speak English. Dude, when he said that for the first time, I popped so freaking hard. I laughed so hard. Next match on the card was Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
AKA the big waste of time.
Yes, indeed. Braun Strowman ends it with the running power slam. Sami Zayn wouldn't help Kevin Owens.
Bobby Lashley.
After the vertical dreaded, suplex.
Dangerous, most scary move in the history of wrestling. The delayed vertical suplex.
I'm sorry. That was just like the biggest. I guess that was the biggest point of the match. I apologize. You know what I'm talking about. The running suplex and Sami didn't really help. You know. And then Sami gets chased down. I apologize. I'm not used to saying that. The match ended on a delayed vertical suplex.
Dangerous. Methodical.
it is impressive that Bobby Lashley can, you know, but I don't know.
Doesn't that further tell you that there's more Bobby Lashley has to do or tell you the fact that here we are a month into him coming back and his finishing move that we know of to this point is a delayed vertical suplex?
Yeah, what's up with that? Do you remember what his finisher was before he left WWE?
It was a Dominator.
Farouk.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't seen that in forever.
which is why his nickname now, when he went to TNA, they made his nickname The Dominator. That's why.
Ah, I got you. I know you used to watch TNA, so did he use The Dominator in TNA?
He used Spear.
He changed the Spear in TNA, gotcha.
It's a hell of a Spear.
Oh, dude, he's just a hoss, man.
Yeah. I like everything about Bobby Lashley. In fact, I like the delayed vertical suplex. It's just funny to me that that's the move that finishes the match. If that's his finisher, as long as he builds it up properly, I don't mind. It's just, it's funny to me that a guy who's watched wrestling since he was 6 years old, you know?
Yeah.
That in 2018, a match is ending with a delayed vertical suplex. It's just, it makes me laugh.
They could at least give us some sort of story where he holds him up for so long, the blood's rushing to his brain. He could pass out. Those knees are buckling, and Bobby Lashley lays him down. What a maneuver.
Practicing your commentary, huh?
Yeah.
To their credit, they did that perfectly the night after WrestleMania when Bobby Lashley came back and attacked Elias. They said it perfectly then. They explained all that perfectly that night. They just haven't done it since.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That night they were like, oh, my God, he's been holding him for so long. Blood's rushed to his head. He's got to be weak. Yeah, they really did a good job.
Oh, man, I don't remember that. I'm going to have to go back and watch it because I still got it recorded. It was the night after WrestleMania, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I still got that one recorded. I'm going to have to go back and check it out. Because I didn't realize they did that. So, good. Good on them. It's funny that you mention I was practicing my commentary because I took, we have the hard camera and then we have a mobile camera at IWR for each show. Uh-huh. I took two cameras and I set them up and I am going to be practicing my commentary by myself because I need to work on my commentary because if y'all listened to the interview I did with Jerry on Friday afternoon, Jerry Bostick, Jerry the Boss Bostick, owner and CEO of IWR, we got a TV deal starting June 2nd. We're in 6 markets throughout Kansas and Missouri, which the downside of that is Ray nor me live in Kansas or Missouri. So we aren't even going to be able to watch our own product, you know what I mean? But, hopefully we'll be able to hopefully it'll also be streaming online somewhere where we can watch it. But at any rate, I am hoping to become the full-time TV commentator for IWR. I want to hone in my craft. So I recorded all the matches and I'm going to practice my commentary on them. So I wasn't trying to give myself a plug. I guess that is a cheap plug still, but that really wasn't the intent of that story. I really was just saying, it's fun that you mentioned that because that's actually what I got to do because I'm not all that great at it right now, but I'm working on it.
It's not a cheap plug, bro. You basically talked for 2 minutes on your own podcast about your commentary. That's a pretty expensive plug. Nah, it's all you, man. Hey, talk your talk, bro.
I appreciate it.
I love it.
I appreciate it, man. We'll touch on it before we get off the air here. We'll touch on the two shows, but we might just wait and talk about it tomorrow, huh? Because we have a shorter show tomorrow. But we are here. Dun 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 dun. The main event. We have Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe. Reigns won it with a spear, correct?
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, I mean, we'll go into that before we start talking about the full-on match. I want to ask you two questions. Okay. Number one, how do you feel about a non-title match going on at the end? I asked you that question. I try to ask you that question anytime. There is a match that closes out the night that's not the championship match, if there was a one-on-one championship match on the card. And number two, how did you feel about this Roman Reigns Samoa Joe match?
Okay. Ask your first question first.
Yes, sir.
I do not mind ever a non-title match ending the card, ending the show, as long as that match is the biggest. It's the biggest match in the card. Has the biggest hottest storyline or something.
Gotcha. Right?
I don't mind it. Taker, Michaels too needed to end that show. Had to. Rock, Cena 1 had to end that show. Like, I get those situations where those matches just are, I'm sorry, a little bigger than the title. So it doesn't bother me. The problem is Shinsuke AJ was bigger than Roman Joe. So that's the problem. That not only was that feud hotter than what Roman and Joe had, but it also included the title. So that's what the problem for me was. It's not just simply the world title should have finished. I'm not that old school anymore. I've kind of evolved a bit. So, but that, yes. Now, I will say this. I think the reason that they ended the show with Roman and Joe was there's clearly a troll factor involved a little bit. Because Roman is, I mean, Vince is trolling people with Roman, clearly, at this point.
Right.
There's some form of trolling involved.
You think so?
Yeah, and I don't think it's trolling in the sense that we think trolling. I just think that Vince is a puppeteer,
mm-hmm.
and he's pulling the puppet strings. But also, how would you feel? How would you have felt as a wrestling fan if AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, all the build up, ending the show, main event, world title, no DQ, great match, and then double kick. Double low blow. Match over. Good night. Yeah, girl. Mm-hmm. You'd have been just as pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So I get the reasoning behind why they didn't put that match last. I get that. As to the match, look, man.
Can I say, before you say something about the match?
Yeah, please.
This is why I love that we do this show together. Because when you got done talking, I was about to say, that was stupid. They should not have put a non-title match on to close out the show. The main event should have been the title match. But then you eloquently explain, hey, how pissed would that crowd be if you ended in a no contest because of a double dick kick? And I'm like, you know what? That's a good point, bro. I see your point now. My mind's changed. So I'm so glad that we did this show together because I was about to make a fool of myself. It's a title match only.
We're fans, so of course... The word fan derives from the word fanatic, so of course we're going to be irrational when we think of things like this, because we're passionate about it. So you would have made a fool of yourself, you know, you would have had a genuine opinion.
Right.
You know, it's just, you watch your shows the morning of the show, when we do our show. So you watched Backlash this morning. I watched it last night, so I had the beauty of levity in the situation where I could think about it and garner a fully formed opinion, you know, instead of just watching it and boom, I'm on the air, you know?
Gotcha.
So yeah, I had a little more time to think about it. So definitely, I don't think it's a stupid opinion, but you know, I think about things a little deeper into it. And then plus, the desired reaction they're trying to get from Roman, contrary to a lot of people's belief, is booze. Because they would not continue to put him in the situations knowing he's going to get booed if they didn't expect for people to boo him. It's just not true. It's just, like, there's no way they could continue to do these things with him. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, but to the match.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm trying to collect my words in my body.
I got you.
These are two of my favorite guys in the company, two of the best guys in the company.
Oh, you a big Smojo fan? I don't know if we've ever talked about that. I knew we talk about it a lot about your love for Roman Reigns. We talked about it today, but I had never knew that you were a big Smojo fan. That's cool to know.
Love Joe. He's amazing. I love Joe.
Word. Same here.
I would like to really talk to the guy who I like to talk to the agent who made the match, and apparently Michael Hayes booked the match. And just ask him why he decided that these two behemoths, these two powerhouses, these two Mack trucks, why you would start the match with them coming out of the gates with Fast and Furious. And then when the match, quote unquote, actually starts, you have Joe hit him with rest holds for 8 minutes. I don't get that. I don't get it.
Yep.
Everything about Joe's character is that I'm going to take advantage of a situation, which is why when the match started, before the match started, when they both got in the ring together, Joe attacked him and beat the holy hell out of him. So, if I'm Samoa Joe, and I talk the talk that I talked, and I'm the guy that I am, and I have the history that I have, and I started the match the way I started the match, the second referee dings the bell, I'm going to hit him and put him in the cocaine. That didn't happen. So what we saw was 8 minutes of rest holds for a match that people were already feeling a certain way about because Roman ended the show. And it's like you're in a chemistry lab, right? And right. You're trying. So if you're in a chemistry lab like you were in school and you're trying to do something and that you have the perfect ingredients, but you put too much boron in and not enough this in, and just you're not mixing the ingredients you have right. You got the right ingredients. Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, story behind it, everything's painted in the pay-per-view. All the ingredients were perfect, but you mixed them wrong. And the way they came out, it came out wrong, and you got to do it again because nothing about it made sense. It just didn't. I don't even mind Roman winning. I don't mind that personally, but why would you have them run a 15 match of just rest holds and mat work? That's not what you expect from those two guys.
Yep, I agree.
So I got no explanation for that one, bro. I got no explanation for it. And I don't think it makes Joe look weak because it's Roman. But I don't understand. I don't get it. Yeah.
I agree with you. And I haven't been on Twitter yet. Because like I said, you know, like you just said, I watch them in the morning time. So I try to stay off Twitter if I can't. You know, once the pay-per-view starts, I don't know the endings to any of the matches. But I'm going to read you this real quick. And again, this is the second time I'm going to read the Wrestling Observer paragraph for this match. They brawled before the match. Then there was an endless neck twist and chin lock. It started off boring and the crowd hated it. Chanting boring, chanting for Punk. Lots of people were leaving. It did get better and turned into a normal WWE-style match with stars working around their signature spots. Reigns hit a spear, but Joe made the ropes. Joe did an elbow suicida. They traded near falls, and then Reigns hit a spear and pinned him. People didn't really care that much. They did react at the end, but by no means was this a good match. Would you agree to that description right there?
Absolutely. I mean, the crowd was chanting, beat the traffic. Like, because they wanted the match to end so they could go home. Because that's another aspect of the match we hadn't talked about, in this match in particular. The match started at like 10:10.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I see. That's why I'm glad that you watch them at night and I watch them in the morning time, because I wouldn't have known that. You know what I mean?
No. I do want to talk about one thing real quick.
Absolutely.
Because most of everybody's opinions about this match is valid. Most of it, right?
Right.
I don't want to get into the Roman Reigns talk because you know how I feel about that, and I just don't have the energy to talk about that today. We can talk about that another day.
Okay.
About the ramifications of what this means for Roman. That's another conversation.
Gotcha.
But there is a lot of the times IWC will take one thing and be like, see, I told you. So after the match was over and Roman won, they immediately cut to the crowd to show crowd reaction, and the crowd's getting up and leaving. So what a lot of IWC and internet fans are, they're taking that moment and saying, see, people don't care about Roman. They just wanted to leave. No. I've been to quite a few shows in my life. Quite a few. 90% of the crowd gets up and leaves the second the match is over, the last match is over.
Right, unless it was something big and, you know, they got confetti or something like that, a title change maybe or something.
Right, this isn't a Raw where there's a dark match. This is a pay-per-view. There's nothing after this.
Right,
so they leave. And so I don't feel like that encapsulated the internet fans' disdain. It didn't. I don't think, because if they really cared, they would have left during the match. Now, some people did. This is fact. Some people left during the match. That's, you want to make a statement? That's the statement you make.
Yeah.
Right? That's the statement you make. But, oh, they left the second the match was over? That's what they're supposed to do. They're in Newark. They're trying to go home.
Yeah.
You know, it's 11:30 there, bro. They want to get home. They got to go. They got work in the morning. School in the morning. Like, they want to go home.
I agree. That's a good point, too. I mean, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I just don't want that. I don't, especially not on this show. Not on any show I'm involved with. I don't want that to be the rhetoric where, you know, where, hey, you know, the crowd left. That just proves that they hate Roman. Well, they didn't. No, not that part.
Right. It's a good point, man. It's a good point. So that was our 2018 Backlash review show. Ray, anything you want to say to kind of put a cap on this and call it a day?
Yes. For me, being the diehard that I am, the guy that watches everything that comes out, I watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and all of the 205 Live, and all of the WWE Network shows they show every week. I'm a diehard. I ingest this. I'm the guy that you can say, there's not enough wrestling. I could watch it every day if I could. I am looking forward to there being no major show for 4 weeks. That's where WWE has gotten to the point where I'm looking forward to no blow off. Just give me some TVs. Just have no, just kind of reset and start over for a second.
Okay.
So that goes to show you that everything after Mania has not been well done.
I understand. I understand.
And I'm not a dude that would say that and normally. So I hope that me saying that sheds some clout to it. Gives me some clout. Because I don't say that.
No, yeah. Usually I will attest that you're the, you're normally pretty positive when it comes to the WWE product. Now, you can be harsh about stuff that us fans say about WWE, but usually, you know, when it's, usually you take WWE's side because, you know, they're putting out stuff and, you know, for us to like, and if we don't like it, we don't have to watch, right? That's pretty much,
yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that because, you know, some people might think, well, I've heard you get heated on the show before, Ray. Well, I mean, we understand why you get heated. You get angry when people just want to sit around and do nothing but talk shit about the product. Well, if you don't like the product, don't fucking watch the product. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to clarify that because I know why you get angry, and most of the time it's not towards WWE. It's towards what people say about WWE.
Absolutely, and be fair, be consistent, and be fair. Don't make up a narrative in your mind and then attack a company because they didn't fit your narrative when that's never the narrative they pushed.
Right, right.
That's unfair.
Yeah, yeah, totally, man.
So yeah, that's what I go off on. But no, and today, WWE has earned their ire. They've earned all the ire they're getting from fans in this moment. They earned it because that was not a good show. That was not a show worthy of a pay-per-view.
I agree, man. Besides the Rollins-Miz Intercontinental match, I thought everything was below par. I think WWE can do better, and I'm hoping that after this disappointment and 4 weeks off, maybe they'll come back and hit hard with Money in the Bank. Is that right?
The one thing for sure is it's going to be really hard for them to screw up Money in the Bank.
Right, right.
Money in the Bank in Chicago, that crowd with, in fact, this is the first Money in the Bank in Chicago since a certain Phil Brooks won a certain championship.
Yeah, 2011.
So, yeah.
I dig it. Well, for all of us here hey, at baby, the World Class the Podcast, don't forget to tune in tomorrow. I may have a special little and treat maybe I for seem a bit everyone. It's mostly yeah, maybe, for myself. But I get got to talk a little bit of Aero Club. We're going to talk about what but happened on Saturday in Noble, Oklahoma. Sunday in Dibble, Oklahoma. What I did for the promotion I worked for.
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
Talk about tomorrow what is a boy to do? Raw as well.
Good night, everybody.
Don't forget, I knew I forgot something. Don't forget to follow Ray on Twitter at It's Ray Cash. You can follow the show at World Class Pod. That's World Class POD. You can follow me at Fox the Podcaster. And for my good friend Ray Cash and myself, we just want to say, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.